Radio Prague News. The Czech Republic has criticized Monday's vote, which granted the Palestinians full membership in the United Nations Cultural Agency UNESCO. The Czech Finance Ministry has revised downward its growth forecast for 2012. And the Army Chief of Staff has grounded the military's CASA planes after one of the new transport aircraft suffered engine failure. The Czech Republic has criticized Monday's vote, which granted the Palestinians full membership in the United Nations Cultural Agency UNESCO. Palestine was admitted as a UNESCO member by the votes of 107 member countries, while 14 countries, including the Czech Republic, voted against the step and 52 abstained from the vote. Prague, which lobbied in vain to try to get the EU to abstain from the vote, said the move was ill-timed and would bring nothing positive for the Middle East peace process. The vote is definitive and will take effect as soon as Palestinian representatives sign the UNESCO Charter. The Czech Finance Ministry has revised downward its growth forecast for 2012, predicting a growth of 1% at best, down from a July estimate of 2.5%. This year's growth has been revised to 2.1%. The Finance Ministry said the country's pro-export economy would be affected by slower economic growth in Europe, especially its main business partner Germany. A slowdown to 1% growth in 2012 would reduce state budget revenues by about 1.5%. The Ministry has said next year's budget will inevitably have to be revised and is preparing several crisis scenarios, including one for recession. The Army's Chief of Staff, Vlastimil Bitek, has grounded the military's CASA planes after one of the new transport aircraft suffered engine failure. The four planes will remain out of operation until the matter has been investigated. The CASA planes, which the Army bought without a public tender in 2009, have been dogged by problems. The 3.5 billion crown deal was criticized as non-transparent and overpriced. The planes have moreover failed to meet required norms and have not passed all Army tests. The Czech Finance Ministry has rejected a massive $500 million claim for unpaid bonds that the town of Karlovy Vary issued back in 1924. The bonds were sold in the United States and the claim was made collectively by U.S. lawyer Ed Fagan. Individual claimants have not been identified. The spa town itself has rejected all responsibility, saying it was a different legal entity at the time, and the Czech Finance Ministry, which had been studying the case, said the claims had been statute-barred for years. The military police is investigating the death of a Czech soldier who appears to have committed suicide. The 31-year-old was found dead on the grounds of the military base where he served shortly after reporting for duty. He had been shot in the head from close range. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be cloudy to overcast with scattered showers and day temperatures around 12 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. Coming up in this show, we reflect upon the 2011 Czech State Honours awarded recently by the President at Prague Castle. And one lady who may well be honoured in years to come is the tennis player Petra Kvitová, who capped a wonderful 2011 by winning the WTA title in Istanbul. More on that and the rest of the sport coming along soon. And what's an Englishman doing in the Czech Republic cooking Asian food? Confused? Well, Sarah Borůvka will have the answers in this week's one-on-one. And there's another chance to brush up your Czech language skills. All that's coming up here on Radio Prague. Please stay tuned. As is customary on the day of Czechoslovak independence, the Czech president awarded the highest honours of the land last week to doctors and scientists, soldiers and artists, political prisoners and everyday heroes. Many received the Order of the Czech Republic after tremendous travails, one after giving his own life. Christian Falvey has more on the 2011 state decorations.
President Václav Klaus stepped through the Grand Vladislav Hall for the 9th and next to last time to award the highest honors of the Czech state. On the 93rd anniversary of the birth of Czechoslovakia, the president distinguished 21 individuals from many walks of life, beginning with soldiers who have shown outstanding service to their country.
Pane generále Mikuláši Končický, prosím, abyste z rukou prezidenta republiky převzal vyznamenání.
General Mikuláš Končický joined the Czechoslovak troops and the Soviet army when he was 19 years old and became one of the top experts in the country in tank warfare after the war. In 1970, however, he fell from grace in the army when he stood up against the Soviet occupation and was dismissed. He was not the only person esteemed on Friday for that act. After the invasion, Colonel Jan Velík went to the Soviet embassy and returned the medals he had received as a soldier on the Eastern Front in World War II. This year he turned 90 and was awarded the Czech Republic's highest military honor, the Order of the White Lion. Six other notable victims of the communist regime were offered the Order of Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, awarded for outstanding contributions to the development of democracy, humanity, and human rights. Altogether, Vladimír Lopaťuk, Karel Paral, Sister Anna Magdalena Švarcová, Ladislav Suchomel, František Suchý, and Marie Škarecká were sentenced to 81 years prison and hard labor, and all of them continued to combat communism even after their release. Unique, though, amongst those who courageously lost so much this year was the posthumous recipient of the Medal for Bravery, 16-year-old David Sukáč. In the summer of last year, the teenager saved a drowning friend from a whirlpool before being pulled under himself. His father accepted the award from President Klaus amid the longest applause of the evening.
Vyznamenání přebírá otec, pan Petr Sukáč. Prosím, pane Sukáči, abyste je z rukou prezidenta republiky převzal.
Among the recipients of the Medal of Merit, there is often a great figure from the world of sport, and this year was not different in that regard. 70-year-old Jiří Raška was honored as a legend of ski jumping, having won Czechoslovakia's very first Winter Olympics gold in Grenoble in 1968, and long served as a successful trainer, including for the national team. The outstanding merits of artists and entrepreneurs were, of course, also rewarded, with illustrator Vladimír Renčín and translator Martin Hilský singled out in particular in the press. Martin Hilský was just honored last week by the Ministry of Culture for his 28 years of Shakespeare translations. The artwork of Vladimír Renčín, meanwhile, is amongst the most recognizable in the Czech Republic, as his cartoons have been a staple of Czech journalistic publications decade after decade. Composer Emil Viklitsky and theater director Jiří Srnec were also hailed for their contributions to Czech culture, and a Medal of Merit went to Zbigněk Frolík, the founder of the company Linet, which he made into a global manufacturer of medical technologies. Among the scientists awarded, then, it will not escape attention that one of those chosen by climate change skeptic Václav Klaus was the Czech-American climatologist Jiří Kukla, who has long backed the view that climate change is a natural rather than man-made phenomenon. The eminent influence of his work, however, has been of great benefit to parties on all sides of that debate, however. In the 1970s, George Kukla was one of the first to bring the impending dangers of climate change to the public and to the U.S. government, which in turn began to study the matter.
That's Christian Favi there. 28 years of translating Shakespeare, you certainly deserve a medal. Anyway, this is Radio Prague, and with news of Petra Kvitova's success in Istanbul and a roundup of the rest of the action, here's Jan Wellinger.
And we begin, of course, with tennis. Czech player Petra Kvitová, this year's Wimbledon champ, capped an incredible season at the weekend by becoming only the third player to ever win the WTA Championships on their maiden run. In the final in Istanbul on Sunday, the 21-year-old Czech player faced Victoria Azarenka of Belarus and appeared to have things well under control in the first set when she took a stranglehold 5-love lead. But Azarenka showed good form of her own and was able to come back, winning the next five. However, Kvitová did regain her momentum and closed out the set, edging it 7-5. But again, she lost the second 4-6 and came back in the final set, breaking Azarenka's serve twice to win it 6-3. Kvitova's triumph pushes her to number 2 spot in the world rankings, not far behind Caroline Wozniacki of Denmark. Kvitova began the year outside the top 30, so a huge surge for her, and one she admitted that neither she nor her trainers had expected. Shortly after her win in Istanbul, just before receiving the Billie Jean King trophy, here's what she had to say.
Well, I don't know if I find some words, but when I started this season, I didn't expect that I will be staying here as a champion and have Grand Slam already. And I mean, it's unbelievable to play here, and the people was great, and it was nice play to hear. And I mean, the final was really fighting, and I have to congrats to Vika because you have a great season, and good luck to next season. Of course, that I have to thank you all my team who support me all the time, not only this week. And I mean, it's unbelievable to have you here with me all the time. Thank you very much.
WTA Championships Istanbul champion Petra Kvitova.
Well, there it is, Petra Kvitova sealing victory at the WTA Championships this year. And if she keeps this up, she should be number one before long. We turn now to football. Sparta Prague lost their second straight home game, falling to Mladá Boleslav by a score of 3-1 after first losing to Liberec, indicating the league leaders are a little short of steam towards the end of the first half of the season. Sparta are now just 6 points ahead of their nearest rivals, Viktoria Plzeň, the defending champions, and third place Liberec. Mladá Boleslav's win at Letná Stadium was the team's first win there in 4 years. Viktoria Plzeň, meanwhile, trounced Hradec Králové 5-0, while Liberec defeated Žižkov 4-1. Slavia, under new team manager František Straka, won their second straight game, winning 3-1 over Slovácko. In hockey, Czech forward Milan Hajduk, who plays for the Colorado Avalanche in the NHL, has scored 4 goals so far this season, the latest coming against the Los Angeles Kings. Picking up the puck off a strange bounce in their game, he was able to put it away, giving his team a 2-1 lead. The Kings went on to lose 3-2. And here's a sample of the play-by-play.
Oh, funny bounce, there's a chance! Scores! Strange bounce off the boards, comes back up front, but he's got to corral it and pull it and put it in, Mike. Hajduk is able to get it, spin, and tuck it home.
A bit of the play-by-play from NHL.com. In other action, the Montreal Canadiens swept a home-and-home series with their classic rivals, the Boston Bruins, beating the defending Stanley Cup champions 4-2 on Saturday. Tomáš Plekanec, named the game's third star, earned a goal and an assist. 2 days earlier in the other Bruins-Canadiens matchup, the player scored the winning goal in the third. The Czech player leads the Canadiens in productivity so far this season with 4 goals and 5 assists. And back in the Czech domestic league, the Extraliga, České Budějovice improved on their top spot in the standings with a 3-0 win over Slavia, while second place Liberec lost 3-2 to Vítkovice. Sparta Prague in third place defeated Pardubice 4-1. And that's it for the sport for today.
Jan Wellinger there with the sport. This is Radio Prague. Now, the variety of restaurants here in Prague, particularly those serving Asian food, has expanded quite rapidly in recent years. One recent addition to the capital's culinary delights is the Asian fusion restaurant Sancho. In a one-on-one broadcast earlier this year, Sarah Barufka speaks to Sancho's English chef and founder, Paul Day.
Paul Day was born and raised in Stafford in the UK's West Midlands, where he started working as a butcher, his first food industry job. After working in 2 Michelin-starred restaurants in London, the chef came to Prague and has recently opened a restaurant of his own, Sancho. In its first weeks of being open, the Asian fusion restaurant quickly became the one place everyone was talking about. And now Sancho is fully booked most days. Even at lunch. I met the chef at the restaurant where he told me about the flavors that fascinate him, how Prague's dining scene differs from London's, And what first sparked his interest in food and cooking?
At the age of 13, I started to work in a local butcher shop while I was still at school. And that really pushed me into the food industry. But early childhood food memories for me are some strange things, actually. I always remember mashed potatoes with tomato ketchup and the hot and cold. And I was always interested in hot and cold things in my mouth.
And then you mentioned the butcher shop. So when did you actually start cooking professionally?
I was in the butcher shop and I stayed there after school as well. And then at age 18 and a half, I owned my own butcher shop, which I sold to move to London to become a chef. And I ended up working in Chinatown for nearly 3 years as a Chinese butcher in a big supermarket. I think I'm still the only English guy to have held that position. But they taught me, I speak some Cantonese, and they taught me how to use a wok and how to roast a duck. And I amassed a massive knowledge of Southeast Asian ingredients. I also worked in a few restaurants while I was there. There was a chef that was opening a big restaurant in Waldorf Street, a Pacific Rim restaurant. He promoted me over the next 3 months, and then in the first 6 months I was sous chef there and in control of the wok section. I really loved that. It was great.
And then I guess maybe the restaurant that a lot of people will know where you worked as a senior sous chef is Nobu, which has a Michelin star, which has been called by The Observer, for example, the world's sexiest restaurant. So cooking at this level surely must be very high pressure, a very high pressure job. Can you tell me a bit about your experience working there?
Up until opening Sancho, it was the best time I had career-wise. It was amazing. We had so much fun and we were cooking at a very high level to a lot of people, you know, sometimes 450 people in the evening and a couple of hundred for lunch. We had about 20 chefs on every service. You know, I said to all of them, and people ask about the pressures of cooking and how it is in the kitchen, you know, it's pretty... The easiest way to explain it is to say 14 hours a day is no time at all. You know, it goes very quickly. But all of a sudden, 2 minutes can be a very long time. And that's, you know, that's how it is. But chefs are born to be chefs and do this. And I love it. It's a big adrenaline rush. We were on such a high all of the time. And we had to come up with something new every single day, and we weren't allowed to repeat ourselves. So I had, for the first time in my cooking career, so much creative freedom. I think back on it really fondly. I had a really wonderful time there.
So after spending such a great time there, what then brought you to Prague?
I went, after Nobu, I went and took a job with David Thompson at NAM, and I worked with him for some time. Where we gained 1-star Michelin. I think it's the only Thai restaurant in the world to have 1-star. He's a real master. The reason why I came to Prague, I came here to be an executive chef in Prague's first members club, but unfortunately it didn't work out. But anyway, it brought me to Prague, and here I am, sitting in my own restaurant, and I feel pretty happy, a little bit tired, but pretty happy. And I really, really like to be in Prague. It's great. I'm very interested by the changing Czech palate. I'm in business with a biopharma in Jihlava, so I'm helping to reinstate the lost art of butchery in the Czech Republic. Unfortunately, during communism, it was completely wiped out. So I'm really happy to be here. I love the city. My parents come over very often. They're still in the UK, and they like it here as well, so that's good.
What would you say are some of the differences between the restaurant scene in Prague and the one in London?
The main difference is there's so many tourists, what I call tourist restaurants here, and not enough honest restaurants. That's the difference.
And also what would interest me, and you mentioned this a bit, is how you source your ingredients, and if you find it more difficult to find your ingredients here than in London, say, or in the UK.
I've gone out of my way to use as much Czech produce as possible. I'm horrified by the amount of restaurants in the Czech Republic that advertise Uruguayan or Brazilian beef steaks when it does actually exist here. You know, it's a bit harder for the chefs to get it. It's much easier to have Uruguayan and Argentinian. So all of the protein that we're using is coming from the Czech Republic at the moment, apart from the chickens, but we've got two guys that are going to start growing or farming chickens for us in the spring. They're just starting next week. And then I'm pretty fortunate because the Czech Republic has such a huge Vietnamese population here. So there's an aeroplane that comes twice a week from Hanoi City. It's not very good for Sancho's carbon footprint, but we have like fresh lemongrass, herbs, fish sauce, everything I need, basically. So I got one of my guests to pop by. He was in London last week. He popped by Chinatown for me and picked up three tins of preserved black beans with ginger. So if people do that, then, you know, it makes it easier for me.
You mentioned all the places you worked and also you worked in Chinatown, and it's very obvious just looking over your menu that you are inspired by Asian cuisine. Could you maybe describe what you like about the flavors and how the cooking techniques differ from European ones, maybe for a layman who never used a wok before?
It's not just wok cooking. The thing that I've always been fascinated by is just the flavors. The flavors and the textures and how it all goes together. The balancing of Thai food is fantastic. There was a big boom when I was growing up about French food, and I never really got into that. In the UK, we have a lot of Chinese takeaways and Thai restaurants, and that was always my favorite food. And when I had my butcher's shop, I was always cooking at home for friends, and I used to cook occasionally in the local pub. I used to make curries. So I've always been interested in this form of cuisine. The cooking techniques that we use are fun, exciting. You know, we do a lot of steaming, braising, marinating, brining. Some of the beef rendang curry I have on at the moment, we cook for about 14 hours, but it's in the fridge for 5 days. It has 21 different ingredients, and it gets cooked two different ways. The pork belly that I have on at the moment with the black vinegar and three peppers gets cooked 5 different ways over a 3-day process. It's, you know, this is real serious cooking, and it's fun.
Would you say that receiving favorable reviews on food blogs now more than ever is a very important factor in getting people in the door?
It's a very, very important factor. You know, we've also had some really good reviews in the national press here. It is a factor. There's a lot of people. I'm amazed at the amount of bloggers that come in and just take pictures of everything. And I sometimes I wish I'd just have a bit more fun with the food. You know, it all seems to be taken a bit too seriously. But they're writing very good things about us, so it must be a good thing.
And also another thing that you mentioned earlier was the changing Czech palate. Could you elaborate on that a bit for me?
What we do at Sancho, and what I'm teaching all of the staff, is we guide our guests towards enjoyment. And our Czech customers, which we have a lot of, are very easily guided. We don't make the food intimidating at all. And my Czech clientele are really, really happy with the food, and it makes me so happy. It's great. Everyone is really enjoying it, and you know, I think the local Czech people are quite happy that Sancho's here.
Well, it's certainly a world away from dumplings and beer. It makes me a little bit hungry, actually. I might head there myself. Anyway, this is Radio Prague. You were just listening to One-on-One with Sarah Borufka and her conversation with Paul Day. Time to move on, though, and it's time for another chance to learn the Czech language through music. Here's Daniela Lazarová with Soundcheck.
Thank you.
Welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, our Czech language series in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by Lucie Vondráčková and is called Tenký led, Thin Ice, which is the phrase to listen out for today. The expression být na tenkém ledě is the exact equivalent of the English saying to be on thin ice. Being on ice in general is considered highly risky. In Czech, if someone says on v tom brusli, in other words, he is ice skating, again, it means that the person is in trouble and doing a bad job of something or other. If you say brusli v matice about your child, it means they're close to flunking math at school. In other words, they're on very thin ice. You will find many related expressions in the Czech language, all linked to how firmly one's feet are on the ground. Být na šikmé ploše is to be on a slippery slope. Být na hraně is to be on the edge, and both of them have the same meaning as in English. You can also walk on eggshells, but in Czech the expression is tančit mezi vejci, in other words, to dance among a lot of eggs, which in a way is a bit like skating on thin ice. You need to be very, very careful. Now I hope that you will not find yourself in these situations very often, and it's only right that you should know how to express the exact opposite when you are confident and doing well. Not surprisingly, the most commonly used Czech expressions for that are je pevný v kramflecích, he is firm in his shoes, and umí v tom chodit, he knows his way around, which suggests that one knows how to move around in a certain environment. Mám to pevně v rukou means I have the reins on something. I have whatever it is under control. I have whatever problem I'm talking about firmly in my hands. Well, I hope that your life is firmly in your hands and that you'll never find yourself on the slippery slope. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining me and naschledanou.
Bit of echo there from Lucie Vondráčková. I wasn't quite sure where to come in. She is, of course, the niece of Helena Vondráčková. Many of you probably already knew that. Anyway, we're out of time here on Radio Prague for today. Quickly do check us out on the website www.radio.cz and you can email us there as well. From me, Peter Smith, on a cloudy day here in Prague. Till next time, bye-bye.